Lot to say. Welcome along this morning. It's good to be here. Thank you, Janelle, for the hymns that you have chosen this morning. They've been great, and they fit in with what we're actually thinking about this morning. And thank you, Pastor Dave, for allowing us to come up here. Just for this morning, we are thinking about what is your favourite verse in the Bible, and I'll tell you a little bit about my favourite verse in the Bible as well. But before we actually start on that, about 14 months ago, the elders did mention in church here that we should get people up here to give their testimony. Now, we know Pastor Dave gave part of his testimony last week, and then he spoke about baptism. And so now it was great to hear a little bit about the background of Pastor Dave. If we consider that, Pastor Dave was brought up in the Methodist Church. Strange as it may seem, that's my background as well. We started off in the Methodist Church, and we got christened in there, or baptised there to start off with. And when I went to be baptised, my father said to me, "But you've already been baptised." And so Pastor Dave recognises that sort of thing. But I'm not going to talk about my testimony so much today, but I'm going to talk about what defines me as a Christian as regards to what our favourite verse in the Bible is. So before we start that, let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning. We thank you that as we do, and Father, as we think about what our favourite verse in the Bible is and why it's our favourite verse, we ask that you just might be with us and lead us and guide us. And Father, we thank you for this time. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, we started off with this verse. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me. Now, on our Saturday morning Bible prayer study time, we've been talking a lot about the fact that we don't know each other as such. On the Saturday mornings, we meet together Saturday morning by Saturday morning. We talk about things that are going on, but we still don't know each other as such. And yesterday, while I was talking about, it was the week before, one of the things that came up was, now, what defines us as people? So, my background is that I've been a nurse for 40-odd years. I've now retired. What defined me as a person? Was it nursing? No, I don't think that really defined me. I go to the men's shed down at Wallangarra three times a week at the moment, and the things that we're actually doing down there has totally nothing to do with nursing, but it has a lot to do with what we're actually working on and what we're doing. We've been fixing up some of the old section cars that goes on, so we've done a lot of bit of woodworking that goes on with that. We've done a bit of lathe work, etc., which has got nothing to do with nursing, but they say that, what I've actually been doing there has actually been a bit of a definition of what I can do. But still, that doesn't define me as to what I am. So when we think about, you know all about me, not many people do know about me, and I guess this is a part and parcel of what we're actually here for as a church, is to help support one another, to actually help get in behind one another and help to do the things that Jesus would want us to do. Can we go on to our first slide? Thanks. Okay, so the most amazing verse in the Bible. Now, a couple of weeks ago when Anthony, or just after Anthony preached here, he preached on about my grace is sufficient. And I was talking to Kathy afterwards, and I was mentioning about the fact that, you know, I was actually going to talk about what my favourite verse in the Bible is, and she said that, now, this is what really defines her a little bit, is that she's got this plaque that sits in her home, that's up on the wall. It says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And that's a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And so, now, the reason that this is very important to her is, says that, she says, "One of my favourite verses, I love hearing God speak. It's true, his grace is sufficient. It is by his works I have been set free. It is his grace and forgiveness that is the most important part of my life, of my life story, not my mistakes. God's grace brings peace and joy to my soul. At my weakest moment, God's strength is very noticeable. He provides the strength to withstand whatever challenge comes before me. God's extraordinary graciousness to provide strength when it's needed helps me find identity, strengths and weaknesses, values and beliefs, growth and confidence, and the most precious feeling of all, contentment in him. Lastly, God gave us a gift of 86,400 seconds a day." So, for those who like maths, 86,400 seconds a day. "Have you used one of those seconds to say thank you? Let's all say thank you." Now, I did ask the men at the prayer breakfast to think about what their favourite verses was. Now, Jamie said it's Genesis 1 to Revelation, end of Revelation. I was going to get him to quote it all, but I didn't think that we'd have quite that much time. So Jamie, what is your favourite verse in the Bible and why? So you like Psalm 23. Maybe some of the people here might think of some of the other verses that they like. I've written down a few here. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I guess that's one of the verses that a lot of us think about when we first think of Scripture. And it's one of the first verses that we often, quite often, learn. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." And that's another one that, you know, we like. I've thought about that quite often throughout my life, and it's one that speaks to me a little bit. 2 Timothy 3:16, we read that out this morning, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And when we think about Scripture, we think about the fact that God, it's God-breathed, and it's presented to us in a way that God wants us to have. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And what an important verse that is to us. Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 to 15 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. What important message that contains. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And what an important message there is contained in that. My son Michael, he often said that Revelation 3:20 was his verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What words of comfort that bring us. Another one that I've thought about was Micah 6:8. And for all those people who love scripture in song, this one is a very good one as well. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Wonderful words of wisdom that come from Scripture. Now, for me, I like to start at the very beginning. If you want to learn the alphabet, you start with ABC. If you want to sing, you start with Do, Re, Mi. If you want to know the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do we think about this verse? Does it mean anything to you? You know, when we think about in the beginning, God, we think about the fact that God is. We've got to think about the fact that God is, because he was there in the beginning. And if he isn't, then there was no beginning. When we think about Genesis 1:1, God acts. In the beginning, God created. He acts. He creates. But when we look at Scripture, we can also think about other things about God. He is immutable. He does not change. He is eternal. There's no beginning. There's no end. Omnipresent, sorry. He is everywhere. He is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. Big words, but they do tell us a little bit here and there. What do we think about when we think about God created the heavens and the earth? We know we live on the earth. We know it's got some land, it's got some water, it's got some ice. Got a bit about everything. What scriptures tell us all this? We can start off with Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We can go through a few of the different verses there, through the Psalms, through Isaiah. Now, Margie had us reading Ezra and Nehemiah throughout this last week. And one of the things that came out of Nehemiah was chapter 9, verse 6, and it says, Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worships you. Powerful words that come through. So we've got a few more there that talk about God creating the heavens and the earth. Back in my younger years, there was a very good song that actually came out. Not many people remember it, and not many people, I think, have actually sung it. It says, "In the stars his handiwork I see, on the wind he rides with, or he speaks with majesty. Though he ruleth over land and sea, what is that to me? I will celebrate nativity, for it has a place in history. Sure he came to set his people free, what is that to me? Till one day I met him face to face, and I sought the wonder of his grace. Then I know that he was more than just a God who didn't care, that lived away up there, and now he walks beside me day by day, ever watching o'er me lest I stray, helping me to find that narrow way. He's everything to me." I'm going to get Sarah to actually play that song. We were actually going to sing it, but Anthony bowed out. He's got a good reason for bowing out, but he's bowed out from us. So, Sarah, thank you. And if you want to sing along with it, please do. Got a good message to it. We don't sing songs like that very much these days, do we? Pity. Now, some of the things that God has created that we don't see very often, I've put the southern lights in because we live in the southern hemisphere. I wouldn't want to put the northern lights in, but we get to see these things every so often. Being up here in Queensland, we don't see it as often as we did in Tasmania, but down there we actually got quite some shows of magnificence of what God can do. You seen anything like that? What a wonder that God can create something like that. Now, just to actually carry on a bit. We're part of the Milky Way. Now, I don't know if you've actually been to an observatory at all and had a look at what you can see through telescopes and that. You know, some of the teachers might have taken their students to places like that, but some of them probably haven't. But when we look through a telescope, what we see is probably little pinpricks of light around the place. I've downloaded quite a few shots taken from the Hubble telescope, which is a big telescope in outer space. There's now a bigger one in outer space, but I haven't bothered with that. What the Hubble shows us is a little bit different from what we can actually see. And so when we look at what God has created in the stars and know what they actually look like, God says, or the Bible says, that God has put every star into place. He's named every star. And you know, when we think about how big the universe is, that it can be a little bit strange. Now, I've got a little bit of a display here for you. If this is the size of the sun, then this is the size of the Earth. So we can see a little bit about how big things are. When we consider what is in the universe, and when we consider that the sun is probably one of the smaller stars that's in the universe, what is the biggest star? So this is some of the gases that actually surround the biggest star. The biggest star is called VY Canis Major. So if we consider that's the biggest star, then that's what the sun's like. See that? So if our sun's that big and we're that small, we've got a lot of big stars in our galaxies or in our universe. Some of the galaxies that's around, so we've got the Spiral Galaxy, which is probably a tiny bit like our Milky Way, but it's a bit different. You seen anything as glorious as that in the sky? Now, when I went to school, the universe wasn't shaped like that. The universe is now shaped like that. When I went to school, the universe was long with a big round thing in the middle of it. So this is classed as a little bit more like what the galaxy is at the moment. Whether that's because the Hubble telescope can see something a little bit different to what they originally thought, not quite sure. When we look, the Hubble telescope goes to the purple bit, and then you've got things that go out a lot further than that. So for those of you that like school and the teachers there will tell you that there's a Big Bang Theory. Now, there's also a TV show as well, what we need to consider with the Big Bang Theory is there's a few things. Now, if there was a Big Bang, where did the star come from? Now, if there was a Big Bang, how big was the star that went bang? Now, when you consider that there's billions and billions of stars in our universe, and the biggest one that we know at the moment is about a billion times bigger than what the sun is, there was an awful lot of big balls floating around in space at the moment. And if there was a Big Bang, how come there are so many round balls? Now, I'm not quite sure how many people here have seen an explosion of, or in a mine or anywhere else, if you have something that explodes, there is never a ball. It's all jagged pieces of rock, etc. So how come we've all got nice round balls? So this is something to ask the scientists who try and tell us that there was a big bang. But as a Christian, I think probably not only do we need to consider Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, but John 1:1 should also be one of our favourite verses. But now, if you don't believe in Genesis 1:1, how can you believe in John 1:1? So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As a Christian, that's something that we consider as part and parcel of what defines us. The attributes of God and Jesus, what do they mean to you and me? So if God is unchangeable, what does that mean to you? If God is eternal, what does that mean to you? Because God is always present, how does that affect the way that we live our life? Because God is powerful, do we rely on the power of God in our lives? If God is always present, or if God is all-knowing, does that affect how we think about things, how we act, how we do things? Finally, if God created me, then He knows me, He sees me, He knows the truth about me. Now, even though you people mightn't know me, mightn't know anything about me, I can hide from you, but I can't hide from God. And I know that someday I must answer to Him for everything that I do, everything that I say, everything that I think. If we believe that God created us, then our heads should bow, our knees should bend, our wills should yield, our hands should serve, our minds should worship, and our hearts should love. And finally, to finish, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you really believe this? For this is where the Christian faith begins. You also have to believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen.